everybody. We're going to continue on here today in the book of James, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And that's where we'll conclude here today in the book of James, with chapter 3. We've still got two more chapters after that. But he comes to a place. And he talks about wisdom again. Remember in chapter 1 and verse 2, he talks about if any of you should lack wisdom, ask God. So he starts the whole book up, and the very first chapter in verse 2, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God. So that's a key point right there. If you lack wisdom from above, godly wisdom, you ask God for it, and he will direct you through many ways to get to his word, because the word is where you find wisdom of God. He can use a biblical counselor, he can use a friend, but remember, it has to match up with the word of God to be wisdom from above. And don't get confused with wisdom and knowledge, because wisdom is something totally different, as we'll find out here today. Because now, in chapter 3, what James does is he kind of explains wisdom from below and wisdom from above. And he lays it out, I think, beautifully. And we should be able to search deep and find out where we fall short, and ask God to strengthen us in those areas. How to live with wisdom. Again, earlier in the letter, he talks about asking God for wisdom if you lack it. And now he helps us to understand what this wisdom is, how it should be used, and we need to recognize the wisdom is from earthly. See, James talks a lot about us being deceived. Quite a bit in the first 2.5 chapters. He reminds us, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived of what? He says, don't be deceived of things that are earthly. Because the devil likes to like come in there and make it look like it's all really nicely packaged and everything. But it comes from the flesh. It comes from the earth. It comes from Satan himself that James says. So here he helps us to recognize the wisdom that is earthly as opposed to the wisdom which is godly. Good and evil are contrasted throughout Scripture. We can agree on that. We can see in Scripture it's laid out the total contrast of what good and evil is. James is involved in this comparison repeatedly, as I've already said. He's talked about it already many times in the first three chapters. In this context, considering wisdom, he shares a very vivid description of the different wisdoms that we deal with day to day as we live. The characteristics of such wisdom are as follows. He talks about bitter envy. The Greek word for this is the same word James uses to describe bitter water, which comes from the spring in James 3:11, which we touched on just a couple weeks ago. This word bitter is sour. It's no good. The water is no good coming up out of the spring that is bitter water. So he starts off bitter envy, and then the word envy is a combined with bitter. It's pungent would be a word. It's gross. It has nothing of light. It has nothing of good about it. Envy can be translated as jealousy or zeal. It contends that such envy leads to what? To confusion. I talk a lot about, man, if there's confusion and things of that nature in a situation that you're trying to to happen, you've got to step back and go, God is not the author of confusion. Satan is the author of confusion. And if there, and I'm talking about, not that I'm confused what this says or that says, but if you're in a group and there's just this hostileness within that group, that's confusion. And that is not from above, that is from below, as James is pointing out. This envy leads to confusion, and then James says every evil thing. He goes on, self-seeking. Remember, these are from below. Self-seeking. Strife would be a word. Selfishness is a word. Party splits. People coming together and there's a split. That is what he's talking about here in self-seeking. The expression of mankind's sinful nature, which is preoccupied with the indulgence of me. We've talked about that. The Satan is all about you and the world. See the ways of the world. How many commercials can we remember of, you know, do it your way, have it your way? I don't know. I can't think of them all right now, and I don't have them written down. But the world wants you to think about yourself. You deserve it. You know, what we just went through it. What do we deserve? We deserve death because of our sins. And we celebrate the fact that Jesus just now can forgive sins. And that we are his and he is ours. And we abide with him and he abides in us. But the world has none of that. And self-seeking right here is part of that selfishness. The me, the we, they. There's a split. I'm going to get what I want no matter what. And I don't care how much confusion, how much strife, how much of anything. If I get my way, that's wisdom from below. Boasting. Now we were told in chapter 1 that we should be boasting, shouting from the rooftops. But not, that is shouting what we have in Jesus Christ. We should be boasting about what we have in Jesus Christ, letting the world know. But boasting has a meaning here, which is boasting against something. And what James is pretty much talking about here is boasting against the Word of God. Boasting against God. Against the truth. God is truth. Boasting against the truth. I've got many circles of friends that are boasting against the truth. And that wisdom is wisdom from below. The Spirit always leads us to truth. The Holy Spirit always leads us to truth. That's why, be like a Berean, where in Acts, the Bereans take everything they hear, and they take it to the Word of God, and they test it against what the Word of God says. So we should be more like the Bereans, and we should be checking at what people are saying, and testing it against the Word of God. The Spirit always leads us to truth. And just the opposite, the evil one, always leads us to destruction. The opposite of truth. Even in our boasting. Then he says in 3:14, lying. This word means to utter an untruth or to attempt to deceive by falsehood, by using something false. So that is from below. If we're lying, well, we're sinning, but our wisdom in that lie is coming from below, as James is saying here. The root word here is false teachers. It's the same word used in other areas of the Bible, where to beware of false teachers, false prophets, in Matthew 7:15, false witnesses, in 13:9. See, we have to be very careful, guys. In the world of this thing, you better be willing and able to take what you hear and check it out. Because there's a lot of false teachers out there. A lot of them. So I beg you to not just take what you hear with a grain of salt and just take it as what it is. Check it out and make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. Pseudo is a prefix that's become part of our English language. Pseudo is something that is false, and that's part of the Greek word here in lying. James tells us that the wisdom from below attempts to lie against the truth. So James is bringing this piece right here, this introductory piece here, to a conclusion, describing some of the characteristics from below. And he focuses upon three sources of that wisdom from below. What are the three, if you have your Bibles out? One is earthly. The wisdom that followed what James was just describing here is earthly. Simply that the world implies such wisdom comes from a worldly system. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 says to not take part. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. There's a warning in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And Peter says the same thing in his epistles. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. The patterns of this world are evil. We have to be here, and we have to be light, and we have to be salt. But the patterns of this world are evil, and we have to at least recognize that. If we can't recognize that the patterns of this world are evil, we will never be able to take the wisdom from above and use it for God's glory. You just can't do it. If you can't actually see that the patterns of the world are evil, like the Bible says, that would be a starting place right there. James says right here, wisdom from below is earthly. And it ties in to not being conformed to the patterns of this world. James says it does not come or descend from above. It doesn't even consider the things of God. See, that's where you have to see, is the patterns of this world, the wisdom of this world, has nothing to do with God. And if you have to see that. There's no wisdom, godly wisdom, in this world. It's not from above. It's from below. And we have to be very, very careful. Because it does not consider the things of God. The second part that he says there is sensual. Not originating in the spiritual realm. This wisdom is from below. And it originates in the natural man. The animal, the flesh, the things that Paul says, I die daily to. I die daily to the flesh. And we have to recognize that we have to do the same thing. Our feelings should not be guiding what we do. Our feelings are feelings. They should be warnings and things like that. But just because of feelings, your feelings may not line up with what the Word of God says. So the sensual part, the part that comes from within, the feeling part, comes from wisdom, coming from that origin, is bad wisdom. It's lowly wisdom. It comes from below. And James comes out and he actually even says that it's demonic. This term doesn't really need much definition. It's demonic. It comes from Satan himself. That wisdom that comes from below, from the devil himself, and it comes from below and not from above. And then after identifying these characteristics and sources of this wisdom, James proceeds to identify two results which are manifested when this kind of wisdom is present. So he's giving us this picture of how to identify wrong wisdom, wisdom from below. He's told us the sources. He's told us kind of, you know, a definition of it. But now he continues and he tells us what happens when this wisdom is put into practice. First, where there is envy and self-seeking, confusion is present. Commotion, turmoil. This condition reflects instability and disorder. Just the opposite. What does godly wisdom do? Godly wisdom brings peace. And the fruits of the Spirit. That's what godly wisdom brings. So it's a total contrast. This wisdom from below brings instability and disorder. And then in addition to confusion, James contends that every evil thing will be present. That's how he concluded. Every evil thing will be present. And as a result of the wisdom from below. And he doesn't give us a long, specific list of what that is. He just says, for every evil thing from below. James simply summarizes and includes them all with this inclusive statement, every evil thing. Righteousness will be absent, and every evil thing will be there. So James, after describing this, which comes from below, he now details what wisdom from above looks like. He provides for us a very comprehensive and helpful definition of wisdom found in all of literature, right here in the book of James. He says that wisdom from above is pure. The first thing he says about it is wisdom from above is pure. It's the quality of purity, which means clean, innocent, or perfect. It comes from the same root word as holy, hallow, and sanctification. So wisdom from above is going to be pure. It's going to be a noticeable pureness in a person acting out with wisdom from above. There's going to be a purity about it that you can see. James isn't just writing this as a fairy tale. This is how to recognize wisdom from above. It's going to be a noticeable pureness about wisdom from above. Second thing he says, it's going to be peaceable. The wisdom from above is peaceable. It comes from the root word peace, or quietness, or rest. Godly wisdom, in its peace, is oneness. We're at a point where there's something special. It's that let them know by your actions that you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. This is the wisdom that you see. You don't have to tell nobody that you have it. It just comes out. It's part of our being when we're following the wisdom from above. Gentle is the next one he says. To be patient or considerate. It is the very spirit of Jesus Christ in 2 Corinthians 10:1. It's the very spirit of Christ. We're to be imitators of Christ. And Christ is the perfect example of gentleness. To be patient or to be considerate. Paul compares this quality of being gentle with not being a brawler in Titus 3:2. Not being a brawler. These are things that should be seen in us as we move in the wisdom from above. This gentleness, this peace, and this purity. Willing to yield. This Greek word is used just this one time in the New Testament. It means literally to be easy to be moved. The translators, finding a contemporary word for this is difficult. Some of them have attempted to use open to reason. You're open to read. Let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. Let's use wisdom from above and gentleness and purity and peace. And let's open to reason, conciliatory, ready to be convinced. Not that you have to be convinced, but ready to be convinced. If you're not ready to be convinced of a truth, then you've got wisdom from below. The wisdom from above is that you are at least willing to be convinced of things that are truthful. Full of mercy. The word for mercy is used here, and most of the time when it's used in the New Testament, it's used for God or for God's people. And James here is using it as the source of mercy is God. I mean, we can't show mercy. Our hearts want to get back. Our hearts wants to get even. Our hearts want to fight. Our hearts, this is our flesh. This is what's inside of us. We want to do everything we can to get even. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. That's what's in us, guys. That's horrible. What's inside of us is horrible. And James is saying right here that wisdom from above is full of mercy. And we can't show mercy without being a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shows mercy to us. As we were yet sinners, he died for us. As we were yet enemies of his, we were enemies. We weren't just, I love the word enemy. Because it's not just a sinner. A sinner is, I mean, that's horrible. But we were enemies. We were once enemies with Jesus Christ. And everything about God. But yet God went to the cross to die for us, to die for our sins. How much mercy and grace can we take from that and then give to other people? So it flows from him, through us, and out to other people. And that's what James is saying right here. Being full of mercy, rich in mercy. But the mercy comes from God, from above, through us, and out. It's nothing we can generate within ourselves, because we don't have it. Full of good fruits. The wisdom of God is full of good fruits. Jesus said that only as we abide in him can we bring forth good fruits. The fruit of the Spirit starts off with love for a reason. There's a reason that love is first. But that should be seen. That's what James is talking about. James is talking about that faith without works is dead. If you can't show me without saying something, then you need to check yourself. And you need to find out if you're abiding in Christ. Because the fruits of the Spirit will not come out if you're not abiding in Christ. The fruits of the Spirit is abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in you. And James is saying right here that this will be clearly seen as a witness to Jesus Christ. You're going to be full of good fruits. Jesus said that as we abide in him, and there'll be much fruit brought. Paul describes this fruit of the Spirit for us in Galatians 5:22 and 23. And he refers to the same thing, fruits of the Spirit, in Ephesians 5:9. James has already talked about the next one, partiality. He's already talked about it in a previous chapter. But he says there'll be no partiality. It's translated as judging one another or being partial. He says if you're abiding in him and him abiding in you, and you're walking in the wisdom of God, not in the wisdom from below, that you will be able to see that you are not a partial, you're not showing partiality. James warns us against this earlier in chapter 2. The wisdom from above shows no partiality or favoritism. How many times do we? It just came to my mind, but we see a person that God wants us to go talk to. And we go, wow, God, do you really want me to? I'm kind of busy. Or that guy doesn't look the part. Or, does it, you know, James talks about it, showing partiality when a rich man comes into church and we say, here, sit down right here. Here's your seat. And then the poor man comes in and he says, nah, you know, you got your clothes don't look very good. Kind of need a shower. You sit way back there. And be ready to just not be in the way of people when they move out. James talked about that in chapter 2. I think that's what he's talking about right here also, because that's what he's already said. He said, don't show any partiality between the rich and the poor and the homeless and the one who has a big home. Because he said that first, it's harder for the rich person, because the rich person, he thinks, you know, he's doing good, I'm doing good, and we can't get caught in that trapment without partiality, without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means to pretend or to act under a false part. It comes from the root word hypocrite or hypocrisy. Jesus spoke loudly against hypocrisy. He was always, wasn't he always like, the Pharisees were very hypocritical. And he was always, the Pharisees were trying to entrap Jesus, and Jesus with just questions and words just put it right back on. And he warned us about hypocrisy quite a bit in the Gospels. Jesus spoke loudly against it, the religious scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew. There's a lot of it there. Godly wisdom is without the pretense of hypocrisy. It flows from God. Remember, this all of this godly wisdom flows from above, through us, and out. So without hypocrisy is what comes from God. And then the final verse in this chapter deals with justice. The final verse is very interesting. It lists specific characteristics of godly wisdom in verse 18. James makes this concluding statement, which can be summarized under the heading of true or godly justice. The wisdom from above is concerned with justice and concerned with peace. As this wisdom is sown by those who make peace, justice is manifested. See, we don't have to take the justice part on ourselves. We do everything else, and God will carry out the justice. It will be manifested as those who abide by wisdom from above and walk in that making peace. As we've seen here, James is a very practical book, a usable book, one to look inside of us to see, you know, how are we lining up with wisdom from above? Do we need to, like, make some changes? Ask Jesus in the Spirit to move us into a direction of walking in godly wisdom and not earthly wisdom or wisdom from below. So, James starts off on this book corner here. In the very first book, he talks about wisdom. Where do we get it? In chapter 1, he says we get it from God. We have to ask, and he will give large amounts. not just a little bit. He will give large amounts of wisdom if we ask him. So that's how he opened up chapter 1. And now he talks about wisdom here again. And he starts with the question, do we know anybody? Who do you know with this kind of wisdom? And he says, who is actually wise and understanding among you? Is the second question. James answers this question directly. He says, the one who shows by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. James 3:13. So he asks the question and he answers it. Who is the one that, who is wise and understanding among you? And he answers it, the one who has good conduct, that his works are done in meekness. Wow, that's a, we could spend a little bit more time talking about meekness, a gentleness, a purity. That meekness kind of combines everything that James has been talking about, this gentleness and this purity and this peaceness. That's how our lifestyle should exhibit. And done in humility, that's another word. Jesus said that we would know people by the fruit of their lives, Matthew 7:16. People who possess godly wisdom can't hide it. It can't be hid. I don't know why you'd want to hide it, but it just comes out. It can't be hid. Godly wisdom will manifest itself in the actions of our everyday lives. It'll just come out. The characteristics of this wisdom will stand in sharp contrast. Because remember, he started off, he's contrasting wisdom from below and wisdom from above. And they're in sharp contrast. They're from one end to the other different. So he was doing that. Godly men, godly women who have lived a life, formal education. Formal education isn't a requirement here of this wisdom. This wisdom could be exhibited from somebody who didn't even graduate high school. You don't need a college degree. You don't need... wisdom and education are not... they don't fit. This wisdom from above comes from God. And anybody who is actively obedient to God, actively obedient, active obedience to God will bring this fruit that James is talking about, this wisdom, and it'll just burst from our lives. You don't need a degree. Genuine wisdom and understanding, this wisdom can only come from God. And it can only come as we trust in Christ Jesus, like I said, active obedience. So as I bring this to a conclusion, I ask us to search ourselves. Where do we fall short? God can help. God will direct your path, make a light unto my path. Search within ourselves, find out where we fall short, and ask God to move us and to fill us. But the key part of that whole thing is we can do that right now, but then if we leave this place and we're not in active obedience to Christ, it really means nothing. You're just, it's not what God wants. God wants us to surrender. God wants all of us. God wants us to actively show all of this godly wisdom from above through the fruits of the Holy Spirit by the way we act outside of these doors, by the way we work and the way we move, and this fruit will come out. So I pray as you search yourself and ask God for wisdom. Remember chapter 1, verse 2, where do we get our wisdom? You have to ask for it. it just doesn't just happen. You have to know where you're at, know God, and have God give you the wisdom from above. But then don't just ask for it, receive it, and then obey it and walk in the light as God is light. Father God, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the instructions here in James. I pray, Father God, that we can be ones who would hear your word and it would affect us. That would change us. That would bring us to a place of repentance. And repentance is not the word for forgiveness of sins. Repentance is the word to change our mind. May your word bring us to a place to repent. And in that repentance, we will see our sins and we can ask God to forgive us our sins because he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Because only he can do that. But as James is sharing with us wisdom from above and what that looks like, I pray for each and every one of us here that it would impact our lives for a change that can be seen, that is desirable from other people. That other people would want what we have. And what we have is Jesus. So may we surrender to his will. In his mighty name I pray. Amen. We're going to close with...